Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm a ring. Hello and welcome back to the Big Strong Leicester Boys podcast. And I think it is going to be the Christmas special. Certainly try and make it a little bit more Christmas themed than your normal episode. And also must mention the Big Strong Leicester Boys, Gary Lineker's favourite podcast. Not sure if you heard and saw that in the week, but a lovely shout out from Gary Lineker on his podcast. So yeah, very, very much appreciated. Might try get Gary on the podcast again. For people unawares, because I saw a few people actually, their message saying, why don't you get Gary on the podcast? Well, believe it or not, we did get him on the podcast. It was a long time ago, probably before most of you were listening, but that episode does exist out there somewhere on Spotify. But look, welcome back to the podcast. It is a Christmas special, made even more special by another couple of wins for us to talk about today. We've got Ric Flair, we've got Jack. Unfortunately, BBC Radio Leicester's Jordan Halford, once again, unavailable for today's episode. Bit rich coming from me after I had a month off. But anyway, Jack, Merry Christmas. How are you, mate? And welcome to the podcast.
Merry Christmas, Jake. Yeah, I'm good. I'm enjoying having you back. You present seamlessly rather than me and Rick trying to bumble our ways through. So it's very good to have you back. But yeah, I'm good. I'm feeling suitably festive, buoyed by a couple of good performances and good wins.
Yeah, and Rick, it's a new and improved Ric Flair today. After, what is it, over a year of you shouting into your phone, you've now got yourself a microphone. Are we all plugged in? How are you sounding?
No, we're not plugged in, mate. I can't get it working, so...
I thought it was.
I was getting some horrible buzzing in my ears. So, no, I'm going to have to buy the headphones that Jack told me to get, and I didn't. So it's my own fault. But, yeah, maybe next week or in the new year, I will definitely be proper mic'd up. But, no, I'm just shouting yawping as per usual. But, yeah, Merry Christmas to you both. And, yeah, it's been a year, isn't it? It's a year since my first appearance on the podcast. It was I think it was after the Liverpool away game.
New Year's Eve, wasn't it?
Yeah, New Year's Eve, that was it. Yeah, so next week will be my year's anniversary.
It was New Year's Eve Eve.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Yeah.
The plan was for us all to go up to Liverpool for New Year's Eve, but then they moved it to the 30th, but we still obviously went anyway. But then I ruined New Year's Eve by being falling asleep at 8 o'clock and being hungover for a week after that trip to Liverpool. But so, yeah, Rick, very nearly a year. And again, worth saying, if there's any man in the world who doesn't need a microphone, it probably is you. But we will get you plugged in at one point.
When he did have his mic on earlier, though, it did somehow managed to be quieter than he is currently.
Well, that's kind of the point, you know. It's going to sound better, you know, and channel your tones kind of a little bit better. But never mind.
Well, Jack made me order the XXXL muffler to quieten me down a bit. So
we're trying. But as I said, but maybe next year. But Rick, are you feeling festive? There's one for you, of course. You know, with a couple of little ones.
I am. Yeah. Obviously, it's hard not to when you got two small children. But I do love Christmas. I'm always trying to get up for. I do feel like I've let us all down somewhat, because I did promise to do a Leicester-based Christmas song every day throughout December, but we then went and got absolutely annihilated, didn't we, at the quiz on like the 2nd of December, and like you after the Liverpool away a year ago, I was then written off for over a week and I couldn't even think about anything jolly. So I've tried to do a couple of songs for today, but I'm feeling Christmassy. Had an espresso martini just for a come on, which has knocked me about a bit. So back on the pronies now.
I thought you were speaking very quickly.
Well, believe it or not, I'm not sure if I've mentioned, but I've not had a drop of alcohol since the quiz. I still haven't.
Amazing.
Can you hear some squeaking, by the way?
No, I think so.
I think my battery is about to run out on my headphones. So, Jack, here you are, mate. You're back hosting for a couple of minutes. I'll be back in a couple of minutes. No, to change some batteries.
That's
apologies.
Absolutely fine. It's seamless as ever. You had a little delivery this week, didn't you, Rick?
I did, mate, yeah. I'm presuming you mean the Manscaped items are not something that have that's come out. I mean, I know we've had a couple of bits and pieces given to us, which have been very, very welcome. But yeah, this is incredible. I've styled various body parts, I mean, everything like the wash bag it comes with. You got a pair of kegs, silk kegs. I feel like Hugh Hefner in them.
Yeah. You're enjoying them?
Yeah, really good, mate. I mean, obviously, we're promoting them and there's an alliance with Manscaped. But, yeah, I thoroughly recommend all of that. And, I think people should get on board, buy some.
And this is a sponsored post, but it's not a wind-up, because I can well imagine people thinking that when we put your post up earlier that it would be a wind-up. But you can genuinely get 20% off if you use the code BSLB20 and they'll deliver it free. Probably won't go into as much detail as you have as you did there, but I would thoroughly recommend. Very, very pleasant experience is probably how I would describe it. And I know Jake's been a long time user of
you're talking about Manscaped.
Genuinely,
I bought one. I think it's the lawnmower. Couple of years ago.
We know what your brother's getting for Christmas now, don't we?
Well, no, actually, but I mean, you could have very luckily they don't listen to the podcast, but they are a couple of them are getting some beard trimmers. They actually are. But anyway, it's like, who told you that?
Why you paused?
I was like, do I say? But luckily they don't. Yeah, they're fine. I've used this Manscaped for a couple of years now, and I wouldn't use another product on that area. It does a wonderfully thorough job. Highly recommended.
I mean, they really do, because I've always tread very carefully around the nether regions when you're doing any of that. But you can't nick anything. Like, it's smooth as anything. Like, usually it looks like you've been savaged by piranha down there. But no, it's I can't speak highly enough of them. Incredible.
Wonderful. So have we got have we done the codes and stuff?
Yeah, BSLB20.
There we are.
Do you want me to read out the spiel?
Yes, please.
Yes, please, Rick.
Okay. So it doesn't look like it's spiel.
So the introduction step into 2024 with confidence, thanks to Manscaped, where resolutions are met and hairs are neatly kept. As the new year approaches, why not make self-improvement a breeze by keeping your body well-groomed? Introducing Manscaped's Performance Package 5.0 Ultra, the ultimate all-inclusive kit designed to help you feel clean-cut and confident as you should. Featuring the Powerhouse Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra, this next-gen trimmer ensures precision and ease when tackling your toughest.
Wonderfully done. Wonderfully done. Right. Should we have a quick chat about the last couple of games? Yeah?
It's probably what people are tuned in for.
Well, I'm not sure, to be honest. But, you know, we will do, of course, some football chat. And it passed me by that we hadn't done the Birmingham game because, I don't know, for whatever reason, it feels like that was ages ago. But we also need to touch on that as well as the Rotherham win. But look, a couple of wins. So honestly, I can't even really remember the Birmingham game other than the fact that we won it and they... Genuinely, this is terrible analysis, but I actually can't. It was 3-2.
It was 3-2.
Yeah, and we were
3-1. Mavadidi went and sat in their stand.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Remind me, and then I'll talk about it.
So I've just been laughing a lot about football this week. Like this week, as a football fan, has been my most joyous all year. Broadly because of what Leicester have done, but also the events at Forest and Newcastle have also amused me hugely. But I won't talk about them. But obviously, you know, so I think Kuda scored for West Ham and decided to go and sit in the stand, which, if you've been to the Olympic Stadium, is, you know, it's got a huge athletics track around it. You're at least 20 yards away from the fans, and he was also at home. So Mavadidi scores, and I mean, the goal is batshit mental. I mean, we were under the cosh a little bit. James Justin's played a 1-2 with the post, and then all of a sudden we're at the other end of the pitch, and Mavadidi's gone and sat basically on the first row of the Birmingham ground, which is just bizarre.
I
even that I didn't realize at the time, but the thing that amused me more than anything, and he's such a good bloke, Harry Winks, like, he's so sensible.
A little bit obsessed.
If he came out on the 2nd of December, you would not have had the incident with your taxi, because Harry Winks would have got you home. He's that responsible. But he's there apologizing to the away fans, which is just extraordinary. The last 20 minutes were horrible, but I thought Birmingham at least had a go at us, and I think it was actually a good game of football. They've got James that played for them, scored two, obviously.
Scored
two
again.
Good goals. Yesterday. Yeah, scored again yesterday, didn't he? Yeah,
he did.
Looks
like I think we've been linked with him in the past. He looks decent. Yeah. I mean, he's a young player, but I thought Fatu was brilliant, Mavadidi was brilliant, Dewsbury Hall was unbelievable, and, you know, I've criticised him a little bit for not being consistent. I definitely think in the last five games or so, he's been really consistent and he's really kind of stepping up to the mantle of, you know, the best player in the league, which he's talked about. And it was a game that suited him because he's, you know, running forward, he's a real threat. And he showed that with his goal. And Mavadidi was excellent. He's been excellent the last few games as well. So defensively, it could have been a little bit tighter. And we do, you know, again, it's that sort of not being completely clinical, because we could have been 5-0, 5-1 up at one point if we really put our foot on the gas. But we didn't, but we won again. So you can't really knock it. A good game of football on a Monday night. Not very good for my heart rate. Took me about 4 hours, I think, to calm down afterwards, because I'm not a very good watcher. It was tremendous, I thought.
Yeah, no, an iconic goal and celebration, that one. But tell you what, Rick, Dewsbury Hall, that I liked as well. The goal, very, very well taken. But again, the celebration, it was the cooking, wasn't it, with the mixing bowl. Enjoyed that very much. But clearly my memory of this game isn't particularly great. So is there anything you'd like to add to Birmingham before we mention Rotherham? I don't really know why I can't remember much of this game other than the score.
Were you asleep? Did you even watch it?
Yeah, I know. I watched it. No, so it's perfect for me to basically watch them before I go into work for the night shift. So I watched it. Honestly, it feels like it was weeks ago.
Yeah, but that'd be like us watching a game at 5 a.m, wouldn't it? Before we go work at like 7:30. So I think put yourself some slack, pal. But
cheers, mate.
Yeah, no, Dewsbury Hall was exceptional against Birmingham. It was the complete 90-minute performance. Don't think he's had other very good games this season, but usually it's just portions of a game. That was from the minute one, his first touch was on it. He was driving forward. It was just, it was great to see. I think he's better away from home than at home, Dewsbury Hall. Although he's had some good performances at home, so maybe not. But yeah, he was brilliant, as was Mavididi. Mavididi's first goal was the first goal he scored that wasn't a scuffer. So that was good to see.
It still bounced and like with so much backspin in, you wonder whether he's actually going to hit the back of the net.
He got the lob wedge on it, didn't he? But no, it seemed unnecessarily difficult the final part of the game, and it didn't need to be. We should have been home and hosed, but Birmingham at no point really sat back on us. So when teams do that, there is still that chance that they can come back, get a goal, and then with it only being one in it, it can then get a bit fraught. But no, I thought overall it was a great performance. Yesterday was as one-sided a performance, which we'll get onto in a minute. But just overall, the last month since Watford after the international break, minor wobble against Sheffield Wednesday, this last month has been really, really, really impressive from an attacking display. Defensively, we've conceded a few more than perhaps previously, but whereas other teams have been faltering of late, we haven't, and let's hope that continues, because we have gone up a gear, as cliched as that sounds, I think, in an attacking sense.
No, I agree. I think we alluded to it last week. I think he's now very much settled on his favoured front two in terms of the wingers of Mavididi and Fatu, who are definitely finding consistency and they're improving game on game. But I still do think that if you look at the amount of goals scored in the last 5-6 games, I think it's, whilst we have definitely gone up a gear, I think it is as much down to the fact that the teams that are playing us in terms of the way that they're now approaching it. Whereas at the start of the season, I think they were very much intimidated by it and think, okay, well, we're just going to sit in, soak it up, and kind of then, get to the hour mark and see where we're at. Whereas now, teams are seeing that if you do attack us, you've got a better chance of getting something. You're still likely to lose, but it's a better way of approaching the game. So I think even yesterday with Rotherham, I didn't think they sat in. I think they gave it a go as much as they possibly could. But eventually, you just kind of wear them down eventually. So I think it's the way that the teams are approaching it, to be honest. It's just making the game a little bit more open, which is going to mean that, more often than not, because we've got better players than them, we're going to come out on top. But no, I do agree. We've definitely found our gear and taken it up another level.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I think so.
No, I would have agreed with you up until the Rotherham. I agree with you up until the Rotherham game, Jake, because I...
So,
they had an XG of 0.02, I don't know where they got the 0.2 from.
So, I think, I've seen people say how bad Rotherham were yesterday on social media. And yes, of course, I was there. I saw the percentage of possession, nearly 80%. And I think they had one shot in the end, which doesn't reflect particularly well on Rotherham. But I actually do think that they were, I honestly think they were better than teams like Stoke.
I mean, Stoke, the worst side we've played, I think.
Yeah. So look, obviously they're not great. It goes without saying they got 13.
But you say they're not great. And I think everyone's agreed on that. They took points off Leeds. They took points off Ipswich. Yeah. Which we've taken the maximum against them, so, which so, the so other sides around us won't.
I don't think they sat in. I think they at least gave it a go. They just weren't capable of kind of laying a mark on. They to me, didn't look like a team who just came to sit in for 90 minutes. You know, obviously, they didn't have much luck going forward. But I thought they said they gave it a go for as good as they possibly could have gave. But obviously, they've got 13 points. But yeah, I think there are. I honestly believe there's been worse teams this season. I genuinely do. I mean,
they drew with Southampton as well.
Yeah, I mean, it is difficult to kind of back that up with any real credence because obviously they've only got 13 points. But yeah, I mean, I just thought that they at least gave it a go. And yeah, I mean, the front two in particular, I can't remember the guy who's up front with Jordan Hugel, but Jordan Hugel in particular is a bit of a handful. Won a good few headers in the first half against Fez and Vestergaard.
Yeah, Sean Morrison's long throw in was causing us a few problems.
That was like a throwback to Challiner, weren't it? At Tranmere, it was an absolute weapon. But yeah,
Every side at this level goes long. I don't know whether they just do it against us, but everyone's got long throwing. Like that's obviously how they feel they're gonna hurt us, and we don't defend against it particularly well. I mean, the first one that went in yesterday, it took us about 8 attempts to clear it. If we do have a weakness, it's that. I quite like the fact that as soon as they brought their big lads on yesterday, brought Suter on again. That was another thing about the Birmingham game as well. He brought Suter on for 5 minutes. The bloke heads a bag of cement. He just won 5 headers. And he did unbelievably well. And I'm probably going to get ahead, Jake, so apologies if I take over. But one thing I wanted to talk about was, I think there's this theory with Enzo that he's, you know, he's stubborn, he has his way of playing, and that's how he plays. I don't see that at all. He might be in terms of what he's saying, but actually, you know, I see him as being incredibly pragmatic. You know, he didn't play Daka for so long. He's now playing Daka because he realises he's possibly got that one wrong. Like Suter, he sees a role for in the squad. You know, he talks about not liking counter-attacks, but the goal against Birmingham where Fatuhu and Bavadidi run away, that's happened quite a lot. That's happened 3 or 4 times. So it's clearly a ploy from corners that if it goes out, those two rush and try and win the ball and then break away. So he's actually incredibly flexible in terms of what he does. And I think that's what's so pleasing because we've scored a lot of goals from long balls equally. You know, the third goal yesterday was an unbelievable goal and probably, you know, one he's wanted to score all season. But I see a lot of different ways of playing with this team, and that I think that's reflected in the fact that we've won 19 games out of 23. I don't think you can do that in the same way. We've won in many, many different ways, and you know, with different tactics. You know, the system might be the same every week, but you know, it's required different things, and even then there's little things like Ricardo was playing as an attacking midfielder yesterday on the left, as like a left number 8, normally plays as like a second defensive midfielder. It's fascinating, actually, I think, to watch it. And look, you know, the style of play might be a little bit boring, but actually I think that's when sides don't have a go at us. That's what makes it boring, the fact that they sit in. When sides have a go at us, like Birmingham did, it becomes an incredibly interesting game, like not very good for the heart rate. But yeah, I think this idea... Whether it's an idea or whether it's just what you'd assume, I don't see him as being stubborn at all. He seems incredibly pragmatic.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I thought was super interesting, and you know, it's definitely then, you know, conversation around Enzo, was the team selection for the Rotherham game, and purely on the basis of in a couple of days we go away to Ipswich, and you know, you would arguably build that as the toughest game of the season. You could arguably, you know, they're the team in second and it's an away game. And it's a very, very busy Christmas period. I fully expected him to make wholesale changes for the game against Rotherham. And I was flabbergasted to see there was none. There was just one change on the bench with Eunice coming on. And look, the reality is he made sure that the game was safe and then made his five subs, you know, with some key players and saving some legs for that game. But Rick, we don't necessarily need to have a debate around, you know, keeping players fresh. I think what I thought was most interesting is that we had a bit of a problem previously under Brendan, where he had his favourites and then the players who weren't in favour obviously were unhappy. But the reality is that football's a squad game, and quite often he then needed to call on those squad players. But then those squad players either weren't fit because he hadn't been given them any minutes, or they were crap because they didn't want to be there. And I was just a little bit surprised players like Suter, players like Cannon, players like Eunice, players like Cassidy, give them 90 minutes, you know, or keep them happy, keep them fresh. Because if they're not going to play in that game against Rotherham, you know, when are they going to get, you know, proper minutes? I was just surprised that, you know, for a home game against Rotherham, he didn't utilise his squad more. I'm just thinking of squad harmony, because you need everyone pulling in the right direction, don't you? Players like, you know, your Connor Cody, he sat there probably identifying the fixture, thinking, okay, well, when will I play? When will I get a chance? Yeah. And all of them would have looked at that game, probably expecting to play. And I just wonder if that would have knocked a few, thinking, he don't fancy me.
Yeah, it surprised me that he went as strong as he did. It was curious because I know he said this a few times before games, but he said that the Rotherham game was arguably the most important of the season. And whether he looked at the fixtures and thought, well, Ipswich are playing Leeds, so both teams are going to have to go full strength. If we don't go full strength and for any reason fail to get what should be a comfortable win, then we will regret that. So go into the Ipswich game probably being the same as they are, i.e. they've had to play the strongest team and then 2-3 days later they're playing again, but guarantee the 3 points, which we've done. And as you say, he managed to make the five subs in good time. So some of the key players have had a good rest. Yeah, you're right. For morale for those on the fringes, a start there would have been important. But there's still probably plenty of positives to take away from the team he did select. Cassidy coming on and scoring. And as Jack said, that goal was on the... It was a 55-pass move or something.
More than that. It was over 100.
Was it?
Yeah, it was over 100.
I mean, it just... I don't know what to say about that. Flabbergasted. I genuinely thought even 50 is ridiculous. So Cassidy getting a goal is massive for his confidence. And he does get in goal scoring.
You're wrong. It was 54.
Yeah.
I got excited. Apologies.
Yeah. Either way, I mean, 50 odds still insane. I remember Tielemans got that one against Man United in the quarterfinal of the FA Cup, and that was about 25 passes, and we were all raving around that. So that's over double. It'll be interesting to see what he does these next 2 to 3 games, because we've got Boxing Day, then the 28th, then New Year's Day that we're playing again. So there's got to be some rotation, and they're probably in slightly harder fixtures than yesterday's. But, you know, you can only get 3 points in each, so he's going to have to take some calculated risks with his selection. I think it's probably more in the fact that he knew Ipswich were going to have to go strong yesterday, so we're no worse off by doing it ourselves. And Daka starting again and getting a brace. Massive, isn't it? I mean, he's now become our number one striker, I would have thought. But then he's off to AFCON in about a week or two. So that then poses the same conundrum. But, I like us going strong where possible. And I think that is our strongest team. It was interesting to see Justin go on the right. And as Jack said, Ricardo was inverting from the left, but he wasn't playing as an inverted fullback, was he? He was playing as an attacking midfielder. I think, again, that was one of his best performances of the season, Ricardo. He was really influential and has been more and more of late. So, all-round performance was just we wore them down. And then you said it at half time, Jake, we'll win by four. And I thought that's a bit ambitious. I'd take any win because it seemed a potential frustrating afternoon. But it was three, could have been a lot more. 24 shots, 11 on target. They're my sort of numbers. They are a lot that compared to some of the other victories. But brilliant.
Yeah, no, it was one of them during the first half. Where I just felt it wasn't a frustrating 45 minutes. I think it was quite clear what was happening, that you know we would break them down eventually. And I was incredibly confident, and I'm not always, you know. So, but I was confident we'd get the job done, and you know that the goals would come. But Jack, anything to kind of add on the selection there? And my thought that perhaps, you know, for squad morale, it would have been good to keep some of those fringe players, you know, not necessarily happy, but a combination of happy and fit.
Yeah, I think I was a bit surprised as well by the selection. I thought he'd rest a few players. That said, it's no different, the Ipswich game. I think we may be thinking about it differently because it's Christmas, but it's like a Saturday, Tuesday, and he normally would go relatively strong. I still think he'll play maybe the same team on Tuesday night because he took Dewsbury Hall and Ndidi off relatively early. I thought Pratt looked good when he came on. Castellet obviously gets the goal as well. But I think it'll be the Cardiff game that he'll make the most amount of changes. And also from his perspective, he's going to need to make changes past January the 1st. So, and then we go back into sort of, I think it's a game every week. So it's only really kind of, I think it's only the Cardiff game that's sort of out of the, because that's a Friday and then a Monday, I think, that is the anomaly. Cody's an interesting one for me, because I think now it looks very obvious that he's not going to get in the team and he'll want to play. Vestergaard's going to get booked again at some point, so I imagine he would come in for him, and Suter's going to go to the Asia Cup for 6 weeks. So I think they'll all play. It's an interesting... I hadn't really thought about the angle of, you know, is for player morale, but we're winning every week and the squad does seem relatively together. So I don't know whether... the players can really have too much gripes. I mean, I thought he might bring Kel in and drop Daka. I'm glad he didn't, because Daka was very good again. So yeah, it's an interesting one. I think he'll go strong against Ipswich again. And then I think Cardiff will probably see five or six changes, depending on who's available. So yeah, but hopefully McAteer will come back. We need Vardy back beyond the 1st of January, because we're looking quite light of strikers if that happens. And Mavadidi and Fatu have played virtually every minute. It was interesting he brought Yunus on, and I thought Yunus was all right when he came in, bar his shot that went out for a throw-in, because I think we'll probably see that combination quite a lot going forward. But, I mean, the depth in the squad is really, really strong, and I think over the next few weeks, we'll really need it.
Mm. For almost a want and desire to have a little bit of debate on this podcast, because at the moment it's almost hard finding these because it is going so well at the moment. A quick one on Daka, and look, I don't want to sound like there is any agenda there. I've obviously previously made the point of thoughts clear, but two goals yesterday. But honestly and truly, Jack, up until the point he scored, I thought he wasn't playing very well at all. I felt like I almost put in the WhatsApp group that he had trampolines in his shin pads. Everything was bouncing off him and it was breaking down with him. And it kind of, to me, reiterates my belief that in the Championship, where you're going to get chance after chance, that he's perfect because he does keep going. And after the two then goals he scored, I mean, right up until the point he was... he was pressing the goalkeeper and working incredibly hard. You know, there's so many likable qualities about him. But again, just for me, that all-round game just seems to be lacking. And, you know, in the Premier League, he just, for me, he's bread and butter for a top Premier League centre-half. I still don't see. And I know it's quite controversial because Daka right now, and I agree, he's the striker I go with for the rest of the season in the Championship. And Vestergaard is in pretty much every Championship team of the season so far. But I wouldn't have either Vestergaard or Daka in my team in the Premier League next season.
I think that's fine, but we're not there yet. Mm. And I think he'll score us enough goals to get us there. I think we need to get there first before we start worrying about that personally.
And so I'm not worried about it, but again, just to kind of go back to this point.
I think we'll sign, if we go out, I think we'll sign a striker, and I also think we'll sign a centre back.
Because again, you know, I don't want to make it sound like I've got, you know, an issue with him, because I don't. As I said, he genuinely has so many likeable qualities, and I think that even when he wasn't playing, you know, he wasn't stinking the place out like Vestergaard was when he wasn't playing. You know, I think Dak is a good egg. I genuinely do. But, you know, so many examples over the year of championship strikers. And you can throw in some names as well. But, you know, Rob Hulse, Billy Sharp, Cameron Jerome.
I'll throw you one, McCormack. Jake.
Yeah, go on.
That's actually turned it round. Dominic Solanke, for a number of years, looked absolutely bang average at the Premier League. Went down to the Championship, came back up, and he's turned it round. So he's still quite a young player. He might surprise us. He does need to work on his first touch, but he's so, like, he wins the penalty because he's so fast and he's got something about his game. So he needs to improve in a lot of areas. I absolutely agree with you.
But again, that goal, the penalty, comes from a terrible mistake from the Rotherham defender, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, those mistakes don't happen in the Premier League.
Probably not. Not to the same extent. No. But
not unless he does making them.
He's got himself in the 6-yard box, you know, at least two times. I'm trying to remember what his first goal was.
It was the when Fez
was a breakaway. He's got himself in some good positions, I think, which are other strikers aren't doing. I mean, if you compare him to Iheanacho, who we all felt was better at the Premier League level, he's now scored more goals in open play than Iheanacho in much less the time. And I actually think it's quite interesting that since he's come into the team, I think we've scored more than three. Let's have a look. More than three goals in every game he's played.
Oh no, we've improved exponentially, and it's no coincidence because it is because of him. Genuinely.
So I know what you're saying, and I would want, if we went up, I would want us to sign a striker, because I think, you know, I think the level is so much harder. But you could say that for 6 or 7 of our players, really, in our starting 11. I think we, you know, we had the debate about Ndidi and Dewsbury Hall the other day.
Yeah.
The level is so much higher. So I think we're going to need a couple of really quality players in a couple of really important positions. But, you know, like, he keeps scoring like he is, he might get 20 goals a season.
I don't know. I think he might. Anything to add? Because we've got to do Who Are You. We've got Rick's 12 days of Seagrave. And I think, obviously, need to look ahead to Ipswich as well. So anything more to add before I think we'll do a Who Are You?
I mean, yeah, I'd like to talk about Wout Faas. But first, on Dakar, I think the fact that his best ability, bar finishing, which I think he's proven prior to coming here and with us, he's a natural finisher. I think it's the way he can press. We badly miss that. Vardy used to be very good at it. He can only do it in very small pockets now. Iheanacho seems just immune to being able to press, or just won't do it. So that's one of the significant differences we've seen with Dakar. And I think by pressing, it encourages Dewsbury Hall and Ndidi to do it, and collectively we do. And we look so much better for it. We just are able to attack and set the way we want to play better. So, yeah, he's got some deficiencies in his game. First touches is as erratic as Iheanacho's. He swipes at shots more than I've ever seen any player do and get it wrong. I think he had one that hit him and went the other way yesterday as a shot. So he's got some comical parts to his game, but he doesn't stop trying. He's rapid without the ball, which is an asset, and he presses. I'm so pleased he's been given a chance and he's taken it, because it can't be easy. You know, he's randomly been thrown in, having not been on the bench for a few weeks, what with Cannon being fit, and he's took it. And, you know, if he can keep that up, barring going to AFCON, then I think he probably gets us over the line for promotion, which is massive for us. Yeah, and then on to Faas. I know you know, in terms of defensive ability yesterday. Rotherham were non-existent going forward. But I actually thought Fass on the ball yesterday was sublime. Yeah, he was the one right over at Vestergaard that was pushing it. I remember, I think it was against Stoke earlier in the season, Vestergaard was playing that role where he was basically camped about 30, 40 yards outside their goal and was instrumental in everything. Fass was doing that yesterday. And he was doing it from the left as well, which I know when he's played that role previously and Cody's played and they've done like a sort of a three centre half, I don't think it's worked, whether that was Fass playing there or the addition of Cody. But yeah, yesterday I thought he was really, really good. And I mean, the second tier pod have praised him this week. He's in their team of the season and saying he's arguably the best centre half in the league. I probably wouldn't have said that until recently, but yeah, he probably is, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, one of my favourite things at the moment is people doing teams of the seasons and just being just there for the comments. And it's all Leeds United fans telling everyone how good all their players are. And obviously, I didn't comment because I'm better than that. But you know, if the comment was, you know, it's like, oh, does Joe Rodon play tennis or something? It was like, no, but we've got 13 more points than you and conceded half the amount of goals, mate. You know, it's not too hard to work out that we've probably got a better defence than you. But obviously, I just kept that to myself and now shared with you guys.
Rise above it, Jake.
Exactly. And I do.
Hold on, mate. Better man than me.
Shall we do Who Are You?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah?
Do okay. It.
Right, let's go.
Who is your daddy and what does he do?
Who are you?
You.
No, not me, you.
Yes, I am you.
Just answer the damn questions. Who are you?
Wait a minute. Who are you?
Right then, so I am Quizmaster. I feel like I've not been Quizmaster for ages, and that's probably because I've not been Quizmaster for ages. So I've spent a little bit of time this afternoon studying this player. There's obviously a reason why I've chosen said player. I'm very nervous that it's going to get gotten far too quickly. But as we've seen, even when we go really rogue, it gets got pretty quick. So are we ready for today's Who Are You?
Yes.
Right, Jack, I'm rooting for you.
Thanks, Jack. Right. Appreciate it.
See, this could fall on its face immediately. Date of birth. I was born on December the 25th. And then I'm not giving any more of the year for now. Just the fact he was born on Christmas Day. So I'm trying to leave the era out for a reason.
Saint Nicky Adams.
No. So that's the reason why today's person is who it is. I was born on Christmas Day. Because this is, of course, the Big Strong Leicester Boys Christmas special.
Well, right.
Next clue. Which one am I going to go with? I'm trying to make it as vague as possible.
My so heart started beating a little faster.
Why?
That's just nerves. I think
it's pure great excitement.
Suspense, great suspense in this game.
Yeah, yeah. I'm inadvertently, accidentally building it by not having my clues ready. Right. I played for five clubs, you know, for kind of a significant notable period. My time at Leicester is actually the second most amount of games, 225 games. However, when people talk about my career, it's not my time at Leicester people talk about. That was a really long-winded clue, but I think
it's not really a clue, is it?
Well, I think it is.
Yeah.
Julian Joachim.
No. Which leads me... No, should I go with that one? No. Yeah, okay. I suppose leads me nicely off Julian Joachim to...
Hold on. Paul Konchesky.
No.
Okay.
Okay, this has gone on longer than anticipated. I've only done two clues. Right, so I've actually been either the assistant or caretaker manager at Aston Villa three times.
Gary McAllister.
Correct.
Oh, good one.
Yes, Jack.
I've got the a good story clue. About Gary McAllister.
Okay, just very quickly, the other clue, I'm sure you would have got it from this point, was that I once famously missed a penalty for Scotland with Yuri Geller claiming he missed.
Oh, yeah.
Gary McAllister, born on Christmas Day. And I genuinely have always found it interesting because it is obviously slightly before our era, signed in 1985, a joint deal, wasn't it? Do you remember who he signed?
Harry Mocklin.
Yeah, Mocklin, 1985. Played 225 times for Leicester. But when you think about Gary McAllister's career and you talk about it, it's either Liverpool or Coventry.
Yeah.
Or
Leeds. Won the league at Leeds.
Yeah. And won the treble as a 36-year-old with Liverpool,
yeah.
As a 36-year-old. But yeah, 225 times, but nobody ever really associates Gary with Leicester, do they? Other people may do, but maybe people of our age.
Yeah.
No. I probably had a bit of a head start on Rick because Dad looked after him. I think because he was at Leicester.
Yeah, I had a feeling he did.
And he's honestly a phenomenally nice bloke. Mm. I remember he came over to our house when I was quite young, like 6 or 7, and I was playing football in the garden with his lad, and he saw me do a diving header, which was absolutely abysmal. And he came out and taught me how to do a diving header properly.
Was this Alexis?
I think his lad was called Jake. I wonder what he's up to now. But yeah, he's a really, really nice bloke, and he was an unbelievable footballer. It's just a shame he played for Coventry, really.
Mm, I know. And was quite good for them.
He was at Villa 3, because he would have been there when O'Neill was there. He was there when Gerrard was there, and then...
Ooh, Lee Lambert.
I think it may have been Lambert as well. Yeah. Let me have a quick look on the old coaching career. So assistant roles, he was announced with Gerard Houllier. He was then obviously with Steven Gerrard. I think after Houllier, he stayed. And yeah, so he was part of Alec McLeish's coaching staff. So then when Alec went, he was back in as well. Yeah. So he was with Houllier, McLeish, and then with Steven Gerrard. So three times. So there we are. Yeah, no, and we're a really, really good player. Right, shall we do Christmas special song now or chat Ipswich and then any other business? What order do you want to do it in?
I think we should do that. I think we should do this song.
Yeah.
We built it up enough.
So
if people are still with us by now, then I'll
Oh, mate, people stay. They do. I mean, sometimes you wonder why, but
yeah. Just give me a sec.
So
it's not Rick's... the audio quality on Rick's mic, is it?
No, it's not. I mean, I'll be honest, I have to keep turning it down in between when me and you talk, because so I don't know how people listen. I don't know if they do the same thing.
When I'm in the car, I often
have to turn Rick down. Yeah.
Turn it down. Apologies to everyone listening. Yeah.
So we're in the exact same boat as you listening, turning Rick down. We're sat here doing
this. This is going to go on for about 14 minutes as well with the amount of verses. Come on, Rick, get on with it.
So, Rick, you've obviously penned the 12 Days of Seagrave. You've paused. Are you still here?
He's frozen. I can just see his little green face.
I'm not sure if it's because he's gone off screen to get his lyrics in front of him.
Darcy's turned the internet off.
Right. So, Jack, I've got the instrumental for 12 Days of Christmas.
Yeah,
but I worry that that's actually not going to be helpful because it then means he's going to have to be in time.
Yeah.
And as we know, Rick is a man who plays by his own rules.
He marches to the beat of his own drum.
Yes. And I believe there's a part that we need to be joining in on, but I now can't remember what that was.
Yeah. It's verse 1 and verse 5.
Yes, it is. Right. It's on our chat here. I can see.
Just put it on the chat. Yeah. And then, like, for anyone not listening at the moment, all we've got is Rick just grinning at us. He's completely frozen.
I don't know what... Has he messaged in the WhatsApp group?
Here he is. He's back. Here he is. What happened there, Rick?
I'm having to... I can't remember it all. Right. Fuck it. I'll just wing it.
Do you want the instrumental or not?
Yes. If it's not, go on.
Yeah, I think do it.
Bear in mind, there's like a 10-second intro, so it's not in straight away. If it's going horrifically with the instrumental, I will just cut it, and then you'll go a cappella. Okay.
Okay.
And then me and Jack are joining in on the 1st and 5th.
on the fit, yeah.
So, right, that could also go horrifically wrong. But here we go. This is Rick's Christmas song for you all. Right, good luck.
On the first day at Seagrave, the birch gave to me a COVID party round AOs.
Yeah, forgot already.
On the second day at Seagrave, the birch gave to me two balls shaky and a COVID party round AOs. On the third day at Seagrave, the birch gave to me three missed pens, two balls shaky and a COVID party round AOs. On the fourth day at Seagrave, the birch gave to me four Dean Smith haircuts, three Miss Pens, two balls shaky and a party round.
Massively.
On the fifth day at Seagrave, the birch gave to me five goalkeepers. Four Dean Smith heckles, three missed pens, two ball shaky, and a COVID party round the AOs. On the sixth day at Seagrave, the birch gave to me a 6-point lead at Christmas, five goalkeepers. Four Dean Smith haircuts, three missed pens, two balls shaky, and a COVID party round at AO. On the seventh day at Seagrave, the birch gave to me seven Kevin Russells roosting, a 6-point lead at Christmas, five goalkeepers. Four Dean Smith haircuts, three missed pens, two balls shaky, and a COVID party wrap.
Well done. It was absolute carnage, but I love
it. We're still going, mate.
What? We've got another four verses, Jack.
Oh, Christ.
Don't silence him.
I hope we were done.
Eight Steppenwrights throttled. Seven Kevin Russells roosting, 6-point lead at Christmas, five goalkeepers. Four Dean Smith haircuts, three missed pens, two balls shaky, and a COVID party rounded AOs. On the ninth day at Seagrave, Birch gave to me nine empty chapsticks. Eight Steppenwrights being throttled, seven Kevin Russells roosting, a 6-point lead at Christmas, five goalkeepers. Four Dean Smith haircuts, three missed pens, two balls shaky, and a COVID party round at AO.
How many more?
Three more verses.
On the 10th day at Seagrave, the
keeps freezing.
I'm not joining
the Fries being throttled, seven Kevin Russells roosting, 6-point lead at Christmas, five goalkeepers. Four Dean Smith haircuts, three missed pens, two ball shaky, and a COVID party round at AOs. On the 11th day at Seagrave, the birch gave to me 11 Jamie Vardy's in heaven, 10 ECLs are ruptured, 9 empty chapsticks, 8 Steppenwrights being throttled, 7 Kevin Russells roosting, 6-point lead at Christmas, 5 goalkeepers. 4 Dean Smith haircuts, 3 missed pens, 2 balls shaky, and a COVID party round at AOs. On the 12th day at Seagrave, the birds said to me, 12 almond rights, 11 it's for Jamie Vardy, 10 ACLs are ruptured,
come on, Rich.
9 empty chapsticks, 8 Steppenwrights being throttled, 7 Kevin Russell's roosting, a 6-point lead at Christmas, 5 goalkeepers. 4 Dean Smith haircuts, 3 missed pens, 2 balls shaky, and a COVID party at AO.
Wow.
Talk it out.
Someone's turned the light off where I'm sat.
I was going to say, shaking you deliberately in the dark.
That was horrendous.
What's even better is you froze for part of it, so he didn't get anything, and then you just re-emerged.
Sorry, apologies about that. Anyone that's stayed with us for that shit.
Apologies for last night. So.
That was superb. Well done, Rick. Outstanding.
Right, and well done to everyone who contributed on Twitter, because I was struggling with some of it.
I like the chapsticks.
My face is hurting because I'm smiling so much.
They were very good because we hadn't heard that at all. We didn't know what were included. So each one was as much a surprise as it was for the rest.
We did have the lyrics in front of us.
Yeah, I know.
And I'll be honest. At one point, you went off script, which amused me no end.
I got the Jamie Vardy one wrong, didn't I?
You got the Jamie Vardy one completely wrong.
Oh, well, I mean, maybe next year, Rick, you know, we can try to get you to Christmas number one.
There's maybe, mate.
Do you know what I mean? The power of the podcast. We can release a charity single. No?
Well, I do. Yeah, we could. I just worry it won't raise much dough for it. But yeah, any help?
Right. Ryan, what's next? Ipswich?
Yes.
Yeah. Have you seen that famous clip, by the way, of Marcelo Bielsa when he's sat next to his interpreter and he doesn't know, he'd never heard of Ipswich before? He's
like, yeah.
Ipswich? Which? It is classic. So, Ipswich, Boxing Day. It is massive. It really is. Very much excited for it. An opportunity, of course, to open up a bit of a lead. For me, I'll be honest, may sound negative, I'll take a point. I will. But I'm also buoyed by the fact that, you know, they've gone into a crunch 3 set of fixtures of Norwich, Leeds and now us, and they haven't won either of them so far, and were particularly poor against Leeds. But of course, you know, being at home for a fixture of this nature will give them a massive lift. But Jack, how are you feeling about this? I'll be honest, I'm not quite sure to the point that I'll take a point. I'm obviously of the belief that we can win, but I would take a point.
I think I'm with you. I'd take a point, particularly away from home. I think it's hard to know whether playing them after a 4-0 defeat is a good thing or a bad thing. We played Southampton earlier in the year after they got, I think, absolutely gubbed by Sunderland, and that went quite well for us. But yeah, it's a tough game, isn't it? I mean, they're flying. Yeah. They're still only 6 points behind us, despite everything. So yeah, we've got ourselves in a very good position. It'd be interesting. I think be quite interesting to see what sort of result Leeds fans want. I presume they would want, or Leeds and Southampton would want us to win, because then they've got a side to catch, maybe, or a draw, probably.
Yeah, I just think, yeah, probably an Ipswich win is the one they don't want, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's difficult, isn't it? It's difficult to work out sometimes, even with the Ipswich Leeds.
Not that that has any bearing on the result, to be honest. But yeah, it'll be a tough game, and you know, we've played a lot of games, but in the bigger games, by and large, apart from Leeds, we've tended to do quite well. So yeah, we'll see. You know, Leeds did really. I watched the first sort of half an hour yesterday, and Leeds were all over them. So it'd be interesting to see how he plays, because I don't think we play with quite that same intensity necessarily. But no, it's a massive game, and I think I'm with you. I'd take a point and keep that sort of 6-point cushion. We've got to play them at home again in about 3 weeks as well. So
yeah, and I think actually, if you look at the fixtures as well, you know, we made maybe a point of the fact that we're heading into a nicer run of fixtures. And I think that post-Ipswich, I know we've got the Huddersfield game, which looks like it really should be three. But apart from that, it looks like a little bit more of a challenging set of fixtures. But Rick, one thing that kind of really strikes me in particular about the Ipswich games and the results is they tend to be high scoring. And, you know, so for anyone thinking it's going to be, well, I mean, we'll have to wait and see, you know. It could well be, of course. But, you know, I feel that it's probably going to be an open game with plenty of goals, which is obviously brilliant for the neutral, but not ideal for heart rates.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a stressful game, isn't it? I mean, at 7:45 kickoff as well is not going to do much for us, is it, after 2 days of eating and drinking? But I think it'll be an open game. We probably don't want it to be an open game.
No.
Even though I think we've benefited from open games this season. I don't recall an open game this season where we've actually suffered. We're not result-wise. Maybe we have in affording the opposition chances, but the Southampton game was open and we battered them. The Sunderland game was very open and I think we had the better chances, but only won 1-0, but they kept coming at us. We probably want to control the game, but if they do keep coming at us, I think we will counter, and that's where we're very underrated. So, to somehow be 6 points ahead of them very quickly, having them drawn level with us, it could have, you know, gone first the other day again, just shows how quickly it all changes. And I just hope that point minimum for us. We are then going into a slightly tougher run of games, and I do still have a little bit of concern about AFCON and Souter as well going to Asia Cups. Suddenly we lose four or five players, a couple of results, some pressure might ramp up, so we can't let it slip. We've got to be on it every game. So looking forward to the game. As you say, how they react after getting hammered by Leeds will be curious. I feel like they've been on the cusp for quite a while now of like they're really going to struggle.
Mm.
They then go and back it up with a few wins where they've gone one behind and then come back and win. But it feels like for a while now, we were also struggling for a bit. We've rode that out now. They do. I don't recall the last time they... they've been scoring and not conceding. So we've got to continue that run and put a few away against them.
Yeah, no, I think I agree with everything both have said. Really, really looking forward to it. Anything else we really want to add on to Ipswich, or we kind of move on to some any other business, Jack?
Do we dare go on about atmosphere and people leaving earlier, or do we leave that for another day?
Well, we've done it for the last couple of weeks. I mean,
yeah, I think maybe we've done it enough recently.
I mean, if people have got anything new to add, as I said, again, very noticeable on social media, people mentioning it again. But yes, I mean, as I said before, the podcast, personal opinion, honestly, I don't understand why people are getting so worked up about it. I personally couldn't care less. If you want to go, fine. I think the only thing... issue I'd have if you are someone who leaves early but then criticizes the atmosphere, I think that's the only thing that perhaps wouldn't make sense, but I don't think somebody would do that. So I find honestly that it's almost born out of the fact that there's little else to kind of get worked up about. I mean, if it's the Saturday before Christmas and we're winning 3-0 and you've got plans on the Saturday evening, if you want to go 10-15 minutes early, go for it. I couldn't care less. I mean, but I also appreciate other people get annoyed by it. So, that's not me sitting on the fence. It's just me personally. I just don't care. But I know, Jack, people are talking about it again.
Yeah, there's been a lot of chat about it. And I think I've said my piece. I think the only thing I'd reiterate is I think the team are doing incredible things. And I think people stay behind them and criticise them. And the bit for me, the biggest bit is, you know, don't be necessarily surprised when the players don't give a huge fuck about the club, because they'll be sat there going, we're doing really well and I'm in an empty stadium at the end of the game.
Do you think at the end of the game, because it's not uncommon for people to leave early. This isn't the first time, isn't it? A football first.
And I think people have always left early, Jay. It's just the amount that people are leaving by at the end.
Do you think, I know that the manager's made a couple of points towards maybe the support in general in the home games, but do you actually think the players are bothered by that in terms of, you know, cause it's not like it's empty. It's just, you know, a section of supporters have left. You know, it was about
75% empty at the end of it, wasn't it? I think they do, but I mean, I don't think any of us can sort of categorically answer that question, can you? But I generally, I think when players talk about, you know, why they want to play, I mean, it's not long since we played in empty stadiums and everyone said how crap that was. You know, I just think it's disappointing because I think the players are doing really good things at the moment. I've not really made a big fuss about it before this season. That might be because I've moved, but at the same time, I just think we're doing such amazing things, and I think we should be appreciative of it. And I think that's my point more than anything, because I think the players, they won't go, what's the point? But there is an attitude of like, oh, that's their job to win games of football. It's like, yeah, but it's also the opposition's job to win games of football as well. So it's quite high stakes, and you know, they often get loads of stick for whatever that, you know, whatever they do, and when they're not very good, you know, people leave them in no uncertain terms to tell them that they're not very good. But you know, they are very good at the moment, so I think we should make that clear to them as well. So, I would say I agree with you, but I don't.
That's fine.
I think it is really important. I think, you know, demonstrating our appreciation of everything they're doing is really important, and I think it's as fans, that's the least we can do. And you know, there's often fans are ignored in football, and you feel like you're not being heard, and it's probably a symptomatic of that, really. But at the same time, not really helping ourselves, are we? But there we go.
Rick, anything?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I went out for a curry Friday night, and me mate, about three quarters way through the curry, just got up and fucked off. So I'm going. And we were like, what are you doing? And it's like, some things are unacceptable to leave early, aren't they? And doing that during a curry is one of them. At the football, it's seen less so, you know, with a few minutes to go. If you need to get off, you need to get off. I've left games early before. I've left games at half-time before because pissed out my face, had enough. But I'm probably not one to talk about. But if you collectively are open to doing that, and more people do it, the atmosphere is going to suffer as a result, isn't it? If you're open to doing that, are you really? My mindset is, when you are there, try and create a good atmosphere. If then you leave with a couple of minutes to go, not the end of the world. But I can see how, you know, the complacency and like maybe entitlement creeps in by having that attitude that you are willing to leave early, and maybe, you know, it's not down to you to have to create the atmosphere. But yeah, I mean, overall, the atmosphere is the pits, isn't it? And something's got to change. So
that's the thing that really gets me, Rick, right? People are like, oh, well, we should be beating Rotherham 3-0. It's like, well, yeah, we should, but football doesn't always work out like that.
No.
And we shouldn't have got relegated last year. I think it's the entitlement for me that really annoys
it
me.
Is.
I'll probably get pelted for this. I don't really care.
Michael Reagan said it a couple of weeks ago, and I've not heard somebody put it better. It's atmospheres tend to be at their best when you're overachieving. Well, what more can we do? We've been spoiled, and overachieving for us now is the bar has been set. You know, 10 years ago, what we're doing now,
we won't get close to that again. And I think,
no, of course we won't.
And next season we'll go up. Like, if we go up, people will go, oh, we should be top 10. So it is so difficult now.
Yeah,
like Aston Villa are like the second richest club in the country, and they spend half a billion, and they're being compared to us.
And they're about to win it.
So hard to do what we've done, and I don't think it's really. I think people will just expect that to happen again. I don't think I'll see us win another top tier trophy in my lifetime. But I think people expect that and they'll be very disappointed as a result. I think winning the championship in the way that we're doing will probably be about as good as it gets. And that might sound a bit defeatist, but I think it's boring because the teams are crap around us. It's like, well, it's so hard to get over out of this division, like as lots of teams know. So, yeah, I think the entitlement really, really gets me, to be honest.
Okay. Right.
I wasn't going to say anything on that, Jake. Well done.
Well, no. So what went to, I will just quickly mention it into a proper conversation, but no, all good. Any other business, Rick? I know you need to shoot off.
Yeah, for me, I just want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas. We've had a message again today on our Big Strong Leicester Boys Twitter page from somebody that they've been struggling, and our podcast each week has really helped them. And I think this time of year, especially anyone that is struggling out there, you know, we talk utter drivel, but if that does genuinely help you, and I'm more than happy 24/7, I'll come around your house, I'll hold your hand, I'll give you a cuddle, whatever, especially over Christmas. Anyone reach out to me, I'm there for you. But yeah, I hope everyone does have a really good Christmas. And don't eat too many pigs in blankets because you won't beat my record, which is in the 30s. So yeah, but Merry Christmas, one and all.
Lovely stuff. A quick one from me on just the fact that after the game yesterday, I went to the O2 to watch Tom Mayen, which is a brilliant gig. Our mate Jersey Bud was there supporting as well. So I got in nice and early to watch Jersey. So yeah, I just wanted to mention, there was obviously, as you can imagine, full of Leicester fans. Tom even brought his Leicester flag out and we were singing in between the songs or various Leicester chants. And as well, Rick, I mentioned this earlier, I was having a piss and some bloke just shouted Big Strong Leicester Boys whilst I had my old boy out. I don't know who it was because obviously I was trying to concentrate looking at the wall. If that was you, thanks for disrupting my flow. I'm wee shy at the best of times. But no, it was a great night. And yeah, just a proper Leicester day, that a Leicester win. And then off to see Jersey and Tom. Jack, anything for you?
Yeah, just one quick one from me. The Foss Way have done a plug for the bridge, they're doing an appeal about the 12 days of Christmas. They're a homeless charity. They do a lot of great work in the city for that. I think they were trying to raise $4,000. They're up to about 3,700. So if you can spare a few quid at this time of year, it'll help out a lot of people that won't, that wouldn't otherwise get to have a bed for the night and such things. So, good cause.
Is there a link we can share?
There is a link and it is already on our socials because I've already done it today. So, it's the Bridge Homelessness to Hope. If you can spare any money towards them, Leicester did a really nice thing where they sent a few players up there to go and visit, and we've, you know, criticise the club as we do. I think they should be praised for that because it's a great cause and obviously a very difficult time of year for a lot of people. So if you can spare a few quid for that, that will go to an excellent cause.
Okay, perfect. Please do support and echo the thoughts of both the lads. A very Merry Christmas. Have a wonderful day. And if you're heading to Ipswich, we'll be there listening, watching, hoping and praying for a big win. But look, thank you for listening to the podcast. I think we'll do one before the end of the year.
We need to do an end of the year one.
I was going to say, so it's not a happy new year. It's a happy Christmas. Enjoy that. Enjoy Ipswich. And we'll be back with you very, very soon.
Social Podcast Network.